The Mayor's Task Force for Infrastructure for the City of Columbia will come to order. I'm Chris Kelly, and the mayor asked me to chair this. And the first thing I thought we would do is introduce ourselves to each other and to the assembled masses. I spent a good many years in the legislature. A lot of my time there was devoted to state infrastructure issues, and became particularly interested in this issue during the two recent ballot issues that we had in April. And I guess out of that, the mayor talked about appointing a task force. And I am delighted with, he said to me at the time that he wants technically competent and analytical people rather than politicians. And it looks to me like for the eight of you, he succeeded, and for me, he failed kind of miserably. But and I hope that's where we go. I hope we devote our time to factual analysis and try to give the council a sense of the condition and the community of Columbia, a sense of the condition of our various infrastructure items that we'll approach, and a sense of how we fund them, and what the council or the staff at least thinks the prognosis is, both in terms of physical needs and what the fiscal prognosis is, so that we have some sense of, and the council and the community develop a better sense of the condition of our various areas of infrastructure. If you guys are willing, if you'll take just a minute and introduce yourselves and tell how you kind of got into all this. And Katrina, if you go first.
Okay. My name's Katrina Bowles, and I live on Egan Street. And I ended up in this situation because I live in a house that has had continual backups for the past, who knows how many years, but definitely the last 6 years since I've lived in it. And we attempted to bring this to our council member last fall when we had the worst of the backups, and then again this summer when we had two more really bad ones. And so I was in contact with Clyde Ruffin and First Ward Councilman, and he recommended me for this task force. So.
Thank you very much.
I'm Greg Coffin. I'm with the University of Missouri. I've got 33 years experience in utility engineering and management, dealing with not only production facilities but distribution as well as water, electric, and steam. I got asked to serve on this to represent the University of Missouri. We're obviously a large landholder and facility owner in the central area of the downtown, and we've got pretty good vast experience in dealing with our own level of infrastructure, and thought we could contribute to this effort as well.
Greg, I'm particularly glad that you're here because, as many people have said and recognized over the years, the relationship between the city and the university is so critical to, let me give a practical example. The university could conceivably, I'm not suggesting that they will or would, drop 2,000 people onto University Village property and change radically the street, sewer, stormwater, and electric needs in that area for the foreseeable future. So it's really vital that we do, I think that we do what we can to encourage a very, very long-term detailed sharing of information between the university and the city.
Yeah, I'd also like to add that I'm fairly involved in the planning effort, both on the master planning effort, utility master planning effort. Obviously, we need to develop our utilities and infrastructure in advance of growth as well. And we've had an infrastructure fee program, development program since 1988. Our most recent change is we used a group of MBA students to restructure and look at that and made some structural changes to our program. But it's been a very successful program in helping the university grow its infrastructure to meet the growth.
John?
My name is John Conway. I'm a retired professional engineer. I've lived in Columbia for 46 years. Professionally, for 41 years, I designed public water and wastewater systems. Also have a master's degree in public administration from the university, and it was an emphasis in public finance, and that I spent 24 years in the USDA working as a staff engineer, as also as a loan officer, made credit decisions whether to buy bonds or not, and we financed rural water and wastewater systems, and also done a lot of water system planning for my clients. Also, as a citizen and as a professional engineer, I have a distinct interest in the development of my community and to make investments as a citizen, to have some input into the future of this city, and that I've been fortunate enough to do that in the last 25 years on the Water and Light Advisory Board, and that has given me a good insight as to the heartbeat of what happens in the Water and Light Department in terms of its infrastructure and its financing, and that also working with the 5-member citizen board, which are appointed by the council, and working for the council and reporting to the council, that that's provided a check as a liaison between the council and the staff in terms of the infrastructure for the city, in terms of water and light, and also the operations of the department. I think that's about it, Chris.
You and there's two of you here with real strong long-term experience with the city utilities, and I'm just really glad you're here. Cody?
Yeah, I'm Cody Darr. First, I've lived in Columbia all my life, so I definitely have an interest in the well-being of Columbia. Currently, I'm a project engineer for a civil group. We do a lot of land development, from subdivisions to commercial site plans, and as most of you guys know, that involves a lot of public approvals and going through this process, and that has led me to this task force. I wanted to be able to, you know, get in, you know, have my opinion, and maybe through that, maybe the developer's opinion, and what I've dealt with as far as my interactions with the cities, and try to help the city come up with a way to improve our infrastructure for everybody.
Hello. Tony Grove. I'm a member at Grove Construction LLC, as well as a board member of the downtown CID, where my appointment came to this. Over and above that, we've done several not necessarily large-scale things, but smaller and what I like to think is positive developments, both downtown and the surrounding area. I'm in kind of the same boat as he is. I've lived in Columbia my whole life, and I am wanting to do my best part to better a bad situation.
I can't remember if you're an engineer or an architect or...
Actually, my degree is in construction management from UCM in Warrensburg. I'd looked heavily at going to the University of Missouri, but...
Mules are good.
They're a strong breed.
Jen?
Hi, I'm Jen Hedrick with Simon Oswald Architecture, an architect here in Columbia. I've been practicing in Columbia for about 21 years. And very much like Cody and also Tony, basically I long to represent our clients. We have several clients that have instigated developments around Columbia, and certainly there have been challenges associated with infrastructure more recent in the past, 5 years or so, but an increasing number of those projects that have really been stifled by the limitations of infrastructure. So hoping to understand a little bit more about what we can do to facilitate controlled, appropriate growth and infrastructure that will support that.
Kim.
I am Kim Kraus. I coincidentally lived on Agin Street, although we didn't have any backup issues, and we moved to Ridgefield Park 7 years ago, and we have backup issues in our neighborhood. Not in the, well, one home, I suppose, but in the park, private park behind our houses, we have sewer overflow issues. And I'm originally from Springfield. I've been in Columbia 20 years and love it, and convinced my twin sister to move up here not long after I did, and now she's my next door neighbor.
So, how will we know if it's you or your twin that's here then? Your evil twin.
I don't know if I could convince her to come in my place, though. But we have kids and love Columbia and want to see it.
All you guys are science guys except me, I think, and I can't remember.
I'm not a science person. I am, I have an insurance background, and prior to that, sociology, so. I expressed an interest to Ian in being on the task force and was pleased to be selected.
Bill?
I'm Bill Weikemper. I was born in Mexico, Missouri, grew up in Centralia, Missouri, graduated from Hickman High School here in Columbia in 1966, was employed at the Pan and Eastern Pipeline Company in Kansas City for about 5 years, then returned to Columbia and was employed by Engineering Surveys and Services for several years, and then I worked for City of Columbia from 1975 to 2012.
And you worked on city
sanitary sewer maintenance.
Kim brought up the kid thing. Please let me know if scheduling or raise the issue if kid issues or other personal issues are factors in scheduling. Because I want to account, some of us are geezers, and so it's easier for us. Now, I didn't mean any offense, John. You don't have to. When I talk about geezers, I hope that that you will say, "Listen, I can't do it on Tuesdays because we've got these kid deals or whatever," so that we don't. Please don't hold back about all that. The other thing is our signing lady here? Okay. I just have to remind myself to give the signing lady a break. But she's not here, so she doesn't need a break. Mr. Manager, are you willing to, this is Mike Mathis, the city manager, take a minute and introduce the city staff folks who we'll be interacting with?
Yes, I'd love to. Thanks for the opportunity. I am the city manager, Mike Mathis. I think I probably don't need an introduction there. First, Mr. Sorrell, who runs the sewer utility for us, would you stand or wave? And Aaron Keyes, who runs the stormwater utility. I think some of you interacted with Aaron during the recent ballot. Tad Johnson is the director of water and light. And I have a recommendation in the current budget to expand his purview to all utilities. He would then become the director of utilities. Next to him is the Assistant Director of Public Works, Mr. Nichols, thank you. If the reorganization is approved, he will become the Director of Public Works. So between, as we stand now and how it may become, we have everybody that leads a utility in the room. And we're committed to providing you whatever information you require. If it's a request of the whole task force or a majority of the task force, we will conduct new research if it hasn't been done. As an individual, we can have the capacity to do the equivalent of sunshine requests, although you don't have to make a sunshine request. You can just ask. Basically, if it exists, we will provide it to you. If it does not, we probably won't have the staff time to go produce it unless it's a very high priority for the group, and then we will do what we can to do that. I missed one other person.
Yeah, indeed.
Ms. Schaefer, who is in the water and light department and will do a lot of the work for the group in terms of publishing your meetings, making sure you do everything by the book and legally, and we will take that off your shoulders so you don't have to remember to get it advertised ahead of time and put on the bulletin board and all that. And Chris, you are going to be our minute taker. And one of the housekeeping issues you have in front of you is to decide how detailed you want that to be. there is a legal minimum, which works really well because it captures the fundamentals. But if you want more than that, we can do that.
I thought I'd go to that right. Were you done?
Yes, I could introduce the council members here, we'll do that.
We are honored to have two of the people who should take the blame for having us here. Fourth Ward City Councilman Ian Thomas and the Mayor of Columbia, Bob McDavid. So thank you for caring enough to come, guys. We appreciate it. One thing Carol asked for is...
Chris?
Yes?
Can we also introduce our guest? There are not that many. Ask.
No, all right. Anybody, you don't have to. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, but if anybody wants to tell us who they are, please do that. Oh, okay. We won't hold that against you. Okay. All right. Okay. Carol wants everybody to tell her how they want to get information. Do you want to get it by email? And if so, make sure she has your email. If you want it mailed to you or if you want to pick it up, don't do it now, but at some point after the meeting, just let her know how you want to be communicated with. As to the minutes, the meeting is 100% recorded. So the question is, how much do we want in the written minutes beyond that? And I don't think that I have a strong preference. I think we might just have, like, major headings. You know, they talked about, they introduced themselves, and they talked about organizational issues, and then we went a hearing from the city on sewer, stormwater, whatever. Anybody else want to weigh in on that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Carol, did I miss any organizational? Oh, yeah. You'll be contacted by phone a week in advance of the meetings to make sure there's a quorum. If there's not a quorum, we can go ahead, except that we can't do any motions, you know, adopt anything without a quorum. And I think that it'll be a while before we take any kind of action other than administrative anyway, so I don't think that's an issue. It will be my inclination to set meetings when the vast majority of the membership thinks they can come. But if you miss a meeting, like for instance, if I miss a meeting, I'll just ask somebody else to chair, or if anybody else does. I think that it's going to be hard to get nine schedules all combobulated. So we might be inclined to go ahead, even if somebody can't be at a given meeting. If anybody wants to weigh in on that, please do. Okay.
Or they'd be, scheduled in advance and pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So we don't move it around a lot. It's easier to schedule around a specific time.
Yeah. In fact, you want to talk about that right now. What day of the week generally works? Bill, what do you have a day of the week that you don't like?
Mondays.
We're off to a good start. Keep going. Does anybody else have a day they don't like? Okay.
Mondays,
okay.
I have a few other board meetings on Tuesdays, so subcommittee on third Tuesday of the month, and my CID board meetings the second Tuesday of the month.
Second's
more important than the third.
Okay.
I don't have any.
Okay. John?
Good. No major conflicts.
Thursdays are hard for me.
Don't like Thursdays.
Chris, I'll add first and third Thursdays for me, or PTO and PTSAs at school.
You don't like Thursday
first
so much.
First and third Thursdays.
First and third. Okay. Looks like two people don't like Mondays, so let's take Mondays off the list. at least one person's not crazy about two Tuesdays, the second and third, and the first and third Thursdays. Did I miss anything? Okay. Does anybody have any specific days or periods of time, at least for the next 2-3 months, that they already know they're not going to be available? I care that this gets covered, so, and because I'll tell you why in a minute. Anybody else have, like, I'm going to go see the grandkids for a week in October. Anybody have something that they know now that they'd like us to avoid? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I will be gone the 7th, 8th, and 9th of October.
You don't like the 7th, 8th, and 9th of October so much. Okay.
Conference.
Anybody else? I want to make clear here that grandkid stuff is way more important than kid stuff. Okay. Carol, did you hear all those?
Yes, sir.
So let's... Tomorrow, maybe you and I will chat about a potential schedule for meetings and then send it out, and then people can say, yeah, I like this all except this one here in October or whatever. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so what I'm talking about is a tentative kind of 2-3 month schedule, and then we go more from there, maybe through the end of the year, where we're looking at possible dates. That at least to exclude. And then, as I say, you can say, oh, I forgot such and such. What will we do on these various days that we get together? I like this time in this place. Anybody got a problem with 7 o'clock in this place?
I would prefer 7:30, but what? I can make it at 7. I just would prefer 7:30 so that I can put my kid to bed.
Okay.
About 5.
There you go. Exactly. No, you fit in the geezer category, and us geezers are going to accommodate these young people with children. So you don't get your way on
that. I might be asleep. But
I understand fully. Please weigh in on this. Here's what I'm thinking. I would like to start with stormwater, and the reason is because they're all complex, both in term physically and fiscally complex, but I think as between them or among them, stormwater is probably the least so, and we might get our feet wet, so to speak, with that, starting with a hearing where the city would present the history, the present status, and the what they think is the reasonable future prognosis of the physical nature of the stormwater system. Then do the same thing with the fiscal nature of the stormwater system. And then how they see it playing out, or how what some alternatives are playing out in terms of getting future work done, in terms of future funding, that to the extent that they're thinking that through now, where are we at and where do they think we're going to be in X number of years? And I don't know what X is, actually. John probably have a better sense of X in some of these areas. And then have a hearing that, and then hear from citizens. I think they can do that in a meeting. And then hear from people on each of these topics, like, for instance, stormwater. People come in and say, I think this or that about stormwater, and did you know that the pipe at such and such, if they want to tell us that, is collapsing, or have you thought about this idea? And some citizen may come in and say something, and when we all go, oh, yeah, what a good idea, you know? So we hear from the people about it. And then the members formulate questions or inquiries or points that they think are worth making, and we come together, we discuss that, we maybe have submit prior to that next discussion of stormwater some questions. that occurred, or give the city people a chance to respond to questions about that particular area, and then kind of discuss informally what we'd like to say to the council about the stormwater utility, where it is, where it's going, what recommendations we have, and then draft up a potential report to the council on that discrete area, hash it over, argue about it, nickel and dime it, you know, till we get it where we want it. And if we can come to an agreement, then we share that with the city. And I think that same template may work for all four of the coverage areas that the city council has assigned us thus far. Anybody got any thoughts on that approach?
I'd like to see the public have an opportunity to comment at every meeting.
I'm sorry, Bill?
I'd like to see the public have an opportunity to comment at every meeting.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Preferably after every major topic we discuss.
All right. Okay. Anybody else got any thoughts on that kind of a template?
How will we handle the overlap from between sewer and, or stormwater and sewer? I mean, it's not tidy. I don't know.
No, it isn't tidy sometimes. And I think what one of the ways we handle is to do what you just did. Say, please, when you give your stormwater presentation, make sure one of the issues you deal with is to the extent that we have, as you say, overlap between the two, and how you think that is being resolved or should be resolved. And that might be a fertile area for citizen comment, too. Again, when I say fertile, I don't mean... anybody else have any thoughts about that template, that plan of operation?
So multiple separate reports to the city or to council, one at a time, and then one comprehensive, or not any?
I thought about both of them, and I don't know the answer to that question. And what do you guys think? Four discrete, and right now four at least, discrete kind of documents or reports, and then maybe they all go together at the end, and we say, thank you very much, we're out of here, or...
Yeah, I think four. I think separate. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We may...
I think there probably needs some tie-in together because, you know, from a facility standpoint, you need all infrastructure to make it work. So yeah. You don't want one infrastructure conflicting with another. So if you're going to create a recommendation of a fee structure or some other funding program to build the infrastructure, you kind of want it to be in concert with all others. So I think you have to have a follow-up to bring them back together at the end.
Okay, to resolve any...
Or you interlace it as you go.
We could maybe, as we go along, we find that we made our stormwater one, and then when we did our sewer thing, we did something unintentionally that produced a conflict. And then we say we resolved that conflict in our final report. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
I agree with Greg.
Okay.
I like the idea of chunking it out, so to speak. It might help everybody stay on task.
Yeah. While we're talking about chunking it out, something that I'd like the city to respond to in each area is how you think the city should handle the issue of siloing. I know siloing is not a verb, okay? And I'm sorry that I did that. But the idea of having various departmental, does everybody know what I mean about silo? The stormwater people not talking to the electric people so much or as much as might be appropriate. One of the things that I loved about Brady Deaton as chancellor was that he did a great service to the state of Missouri by breaking down siloed communication at the university and developed that whole One Mizzou approach. And that you got a lot of good cross-departmental idea sharing that way. And I think to the extent that we can encourage that to happen with the city, we're better off. And don't anybody hear me saying you're doing wrong now and you're not talking, because I'm not saying that. But I think that we've heard that, at least I've heard that as an issue, and we ought to think long term about that issue. Okay, anybody else about our approach, our kind of procedural approach?
Do we hear what our charge is? I've got a copy of the original resolution was proposed. But
you know, I don't have, does anybody have the original letter with them?
I've got the original letter.
Via the, because I don't have it here. Okay.
Before the motion to remove some of the utilities.
City said, originally said, that we would deal with the same thing?
That's the one that was recorded.
This is the final one. So the difference is that the council, because, you know, they're the appointing entity, and the council said finally that we should deal with, where is the language, specific language? Here we go. Stormwater, sewer, electric, street, and transportation. Where we're going here, I think, is Bill and other people believe that the council might consider expanding the charge to our task force, and we talked about this, and the question is, do you have a motion today about that?
Yes.
All right.
I feel that the motion that amended the original resolution to limit the task force's scope, which was raised and voted on all on the same evening, should have had more time for reflection and deliberation. So I'll make his motion. The Mayor's Task Force on Infrastructure requests that the City Council reconsider limiting the responsibilities of the task force and expand the scope of the task force to include water, electric, sewer, and stormwater infrastructure equally.
Okay. Now, Bill and I don't want to not give the full information here. Bill and I had a conversation about this yesterday, and we talked about that even if his motion were to be voted on by us tonight, and even if the council were to act on it immediately, it would still be a while before it had any practical implication on our activity, because the areas of expansion would be not till our later issues. So we and one of the things that I want to make sure that we do is we do what the council asked us to do generally, which is to give them factual analysis rather than political controversy. The council, I've found, is completely competent to generate its own political controversy. They've been able to do that successfully for a while. In fact, through many councils. And so I would like to avoid, if we could, the issue of political controversy as distinct from factual analysis. So when Bill and I talked about this, we talked about whether or not we would hold this motion in abeyance, that you would withdraw it for now, and then I will give you the right, because everybody has a right to make whatever motions they want, the right to make the motion at any time in the future when you thought that we should make it. And it may be that the council comes to their conclusion about this before we even acted, which might be, you know, worthwhile too, to give them the room to do. So,
that's agreeable with me.
You're willing to withdraw for now?
Yes.
And I want to make it clear that I'm going to give Bill the right to bring the motion back at any point that he chooses to do so. So, we're not going to deal with that motion and that subject tonight. I can't. What do we not cover?
Beg your pardon?
What did we not talk about?
Water. and electricity.
Oh yeah.
Throughout the.
I'm sorry. When I set the storm, I was too brief. When I said stormwater, I meant that is only a template, and then use the same one for streets. I thought we might go with streets and transportation second, and then water and sewer out and downtown electricity. But I didn't mean to not talk about those. I just meant that when we get into those, we'd use the same model as we'll start with.
But what I didn't read from our mission as a task force is that we would look at water and electricity citywide. We'd only be looking at electricity for downtown.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of up to the council. And that's what Bill's motion goes to.
That's what you were, I'm sorry, I thought that's what you were asking was what we weren't going to cover, and that's
no, I'm sorry, I didn't ask the question well. I meant what did we not cover organizationally or procedurally.
Okay.
In terms of setting up the,
How late we're going and how we're going to do bathroom breaks, come and go, whatever. And then are we going until we're done, or are we going to set time limits
for
every meeting?
No, I don't want to go till we're done. I think bathroom breaks, just do whatever you want to do with bathroom breaks. Where are the bathrooms, by the way?
For the task force, there are some through the break room.
Through the break room, which is right
room, just to your
to
left.
Bill's immediate left.
And for all those watching, they're out around the hallway to the right.
Okay. I don't think that under any circumstances at all, I want to go more than 2 hours. About asking questions. In the bad old days in the legislature, we would have several kinds of questions. One question would be a legitimate request for information. Tell me about the pipes on Worley Street, that kind of question, as distinct from a question which is designed to elicit or carry a particular agenda or political or message. I hope, and there's a perfect place for that, and that's within our discussion. But I think when we ask questions to the staff or to the public who may make comments, I hope we will limit our questions to legitimate requests for objective information, as distinct from using it as a tool to articulate some issue that we have. I only say that out of abundance of caution, because that happens so much in the Temple of Doom down south. Okay, does anybody from the public want to make any comments?
I forgot to bring one piece of paper.
You don't need any pieces of paper.
I'm actually very encouraged by the existence of this group, subject to a variety of conditions. I'm particularly encouraged to find there are a couple of people here who work with big institutions that have long-term infrastructure planning processes. The city does not. It has not. So I'm going to say I'm encouraged, but I know in the background lots of people have thought, and I think you've kind of indicated to some extent, well, you know, the city staff knows all kinds of things. I believe the city staff, engineers and so forth, are all probably competent to go to work for places like Black & Veatch and big cost of service study firms. That's the level I think we need to have to help develop what is said in here as provide input regarding the development, and I'll phrase it, basically a competent long-term infrastructure planning process and financing process. I hope that will be the major outcome. The staff here is very good, but they're 90%, 99% involved in administration. They've never been asked to do infrastructure planning. And I think, and I'm particularly glad you all have had that, I think we need long-term thinking in the planning, and we also need outside help, because this is at the level of cost of service studies. Lots of people refer to the 2004 Black and Veatch study. We need those kind of things to help us, and we need a planning process that involves those, that yields things that go into our CIPs looking out 20 and 30 years. And I think you need to think less about financing until you've got some of that process. So I'm looking forward. I hope actually the charge is expanded, because I think it does implicate exactly what you're doing. I take the first two things on this item to address some things that I think are important, which is, while there's long-term planning right now, it's so what about very current things, like maybe getting specific about the actual INI reduction plan that affects my neighborhood, your neighborhood, used to affect your neighborhood. Those are not long-term planning things, but they would fit into this evaluation of operation and maintenance, and it's a separate thing from developing this long-term perspective. And in that sense, Mr. Kelly, I probably hope you will discover in this process that actually this is much more complex, and we're just not anywhere near the kind of ability as a city to do this. Because you were mainly thinking about, we'll do some things, and it basically is all fairly short term. And you, as you get into the weeds, I hope you will come to the view that the best thing that come out of this is actually the recommendations for a long-term hiring outside people. I even have five or six firms that have been recommended to me that help cities do this and develop their process. So I'm hoping it's that big process that comes out of this rather than kind of short-term kind of solutions. And then, of course, a process that we would put into ordinance that we would redo at a minimum every 5 years, as we should insist we do our cost of service studies at a minimum on a regular basis every 5 years, not just when the staff kind of thinks we need them. Thank you very much. I'm encouraged. Thank you for your service. I look forward to being involved and follow as much as I can. I must admit, I think Asbill. So if you can send out as much stuff to everybody as far in advance so that we'll be able to understand and follow your discussions, and therefore if we have some ideas, I don't think we're going to have specific point ideas, but we might, that basically will come and be able to participate a bit, because we've kind of seen the stuff in advance. Frankly, the city tends to do it on the backside. Having the stuff come out much earlier would really enable other people to participate better in a meaningful way, and one that's time constrained and so forth. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Clark.
Anybody have questions? Yeah.
I do. What is your thought as to the planning horizon in as far as the time frame?
I must admit, I followed, for instance, the Downtown Leadership Council's thing. Big points. We need to think long term. So I'm thinking 20, 30-year horizons, and outside. To do that kind of thing probably involves some modeling about the sectors of our growth and these kind of things. But those would be part. But it's really about developing this planning process that actually allows us to utilize our staff and their intimate knowledge, but does not ask them to do something that they are not trained to and they're not organized to do. And that's what we've never had. Now and again, we have. I know people are really upset that we used to hire Black and Veatch. But for long-term thinking about our sanitary sewer and our wastewater treatment, they did the kind of work that led to a 10-year perspective on that that got into a CIP. So I'm thinking outside help is going to be necessary on that. I think our staff are quite competent, but not in this framework for this job. And I'm hoping you'll kind of come to that conclusion as you go through it. I'm going to guess at the university, the long-term infrastructure process, which I'm not familiar with it, except that I know you managed successfully to adopt a policy of 40 years to underground all your utility lines. And you managed to keep going and eventually did it. And I think you had a celebration about 10 years. That's what I'm kind of looking for. We're not the university, we have elected officials, but getting a process in place that will allow us to get the best and actually get us out of the ad hoc kind of stuff.
Let's see, Mr. Clark, so we'll take it one more step. So given a planning horizon that you're saying there, 20, 30 years. And so this would only encompass or be restricted by the existing service area of the city?
Actually, I mean, in what I'm talking about is developing a process that would allow you to deal with the fact that we're growing.
Okay.
That's why it's sort of like facilitating this process and kind of the first five-year iteration as part of that. And that's enough time to probably deal. But doing some of the modeling about growth would allow us not to just focus on the narrow short term, because you can see the ranges of kind of things you need about overall power increase needs, overall distribution needs, overall increase in the size of the wastewater treatment plant. Those don't have to wait for specific projects if you're looking at a couple growth regimens, and you're looking at separately growth in populations, commercial, industrial, those kind of things. It's possible to do that. And that is actually the kind of thing that some of these big engineering firms that involve engineers, accountants, city planners, they're set up to help us think in that way and extract information from us that allow us to have that kind of planning, which we really cannot do locally or not trained to do locally.
Sorry, in summary, then. So in summary, are you saying then that the task force here should be limit itself to the existing bounded service area that came with out of Columbia Imagined?
Well, you're thinking Columbia Imagined or Imagined Columbia?
Whatever. I mean, I'd go either way.
The idea of focusing on a planning process would be broader than that. But for specific things that you're doing, looking out and then back into the next 5 years, you'd be dealing with the city's boundaries. At the same time, frankly, it's not like you should have somebody from the county on here. We are in this very interesting arrangement whereby we are constantly kind of moving into the county and we're growing in that kind of sense. Now, personally, I have a real big focus on economic development, think we should get away from population growth and retail sales as our model and really focus on businesses growing so that our GDP grows. That's less related to growth in area and would involve much more kind of internal kind of thing. But that's tying this into our economic development plans, which are somewhat separate with this, but need to really take into account what we hope to do in terms. I don't think we just have to live with 2.5% growth a year and just suck it up. I don't think we get the right kind of stuff. But does that answer your question? I want to make sure that I was semi-responsive.
There we go.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. You said something that I forgot to mention before. One of the reasons I was so interested in this in the state and I'm so interested in here is because a community cannot grow economically if it doesn't have sound infrastructure, and it's kind of a base level governmental service. Any other members of the public? Councilman Thomas, do you want to say anything? I want to give you the opportunity. We're honored to have you here.
I have no comments tonight.
All right. Mr. Mayor? Thank you very much. You know what I thought, guys? We could just set our second meeting now if the city can tell us when we have our first hearing on stormwater. From the dates that you gave me, it looks like either the 22nd or the 29th, those are both Tuesdays, would work for everybody. If the city could be, Tad, do you think you guys can could present on stormwater next week or the week after?
What month are we talking?
September. That would be next week. I wouldn't want to give you the impression that you had a life outside of this. That work for everybody? Just go to set our second meeting right now for September 29th to have our, and then what we would do there is have the presentation by the city on stormwater and then public comment on stormwater. I wouldn't anticipate that we have any take any particular action except to gather information. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm going to adjourn if we don't have any.
I have a recommendation on the as we schedule the meetings going forward, and I think we should define which those presentations are going to occur, so that the staff can prepare.
Absolutely.
And then secondly, is that I would welcome through via email any advance information from the staff that in advance of their preparation for presentation. That way, we can read in advance any documents that you'd like for us to review. That way, your presentation will be much more meaningful.
I'd agree.
I agree.
You guys got that?
Yep.
Cool.
Chris, I have a couple quick questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Has council considered outside review, like they did with transportation? Was it recently? On these issues?
Ian or Bob? Your question is to the council.
Yes, what John mentioned, a professional outside reviewer looking at the areas for us.
Complicated answer. In terms of third-party review, we routinely have analysis and planning from large third-party companies. We're going to drown you in plans. There's a plan for every utility. There's a comprehensive plan. I won't go into all the details. And all of them are prepared by third parties. So the staff doesn't do long-term planning on its own. We always have qualified third-party folks do that. So Black & Veatch is a name you'll hear a lot. There are many others. So if that's the kind of third-party review, I think you might be referring to the transit study we've just done a request for proposals for. And so occasionally when we have a service, and you can think of transit as a service or a piece of infrastructure, we think of it as a service because it's a thing with a lot of operating costs and not a ton of permanent capital investment. But whatever you want to think of it as, it's very common for a third-party review and planning.
I have a question.
Please.
Mike, as far as master planning, you indicate you've got different planning structures on all the different utilities. What comes and brings it all together? Is there a master planning effort that coordinates it all?
Yes, and there's probably the best work's been done in water and light over the years. Of course, they are our first utility as a city. I think back in the 30s, and John could give us the lesson on the history there. But they've been doing integrated resource planning. So all of the resources that they have to work with, all of the future needs that they can see with third parties helping them think through, you know, national changes in regulation, et cetera, as well as best practice that others are using. So those are what we think of as master plans, and then we bring them all together in the capital improvement program so that there's a 10-year look ahead with all of the work we know about and can think about. Now, even with all of the ballot issues that have been passed, the funding is a very small percentage of what we know we need. So that's one of the issues the council has asked you to think about, is the fact that the revenue is quite inadequate to pay for all of those identified needs.
Anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, I have two more things.
Please.
The first one is to be a question. Are Robert's Rules of Order in effect for these meetings?
I think that's the standard operating procedure for the city, isn't it? Isn't that how the council operates? Or you don't? I'd rather have it be an absolute dictatorship. But
well,
in the
we
absence
prefer that, Chris,
of,
for the chair. The,
of,
no, the we don't follow the Robert's rules, in terms we don't have a parliamentarian here to kick questions to about points of order and whatnot. But we do lay out general rules about we have an agenda, we follow that, we decide where the comments come, and then generally if there's a motion made, there's a second. And then we vote the motion up or down, or the amendment to the motion if there's an So we can help with that, I guess, is the point.
Let me tell you how what I would be inclined to do, for instance, on the subject of Robert's Rules. Let's assume that, I don't know, Kim makes a motion, and somebody seconds it. I am then going to recognize the maker of the motion to explain the motion or say whatever they choose to say about the motion. Then I would give anybody else the opportunity to comment on the motion. The rest of us could have our say or ask questions or whatever. And then depending on the nature of the motion, if it were a policy question, I'd be inclined to have public comment. If it was procedural, I'd be less inclined to have public participation in procedural kinds of things. But in terms of anything that's substantive, clearly give the public a chance to say anything that they chose to say on it. Then go back for a short minute to the sponsor of the motion to say, to close, and then vote on it. As to voting, my inclination will be to have ayes and nays, and what I do is say the ayes appear to have it, giving anybody the opportunity to say, I'd like a division, or I'd like a show of hands, or I'd like a roll call. You see what I mean? So you can check me if you think I'm calling it wrong. I'll say the ayes appear to have it, and then I'll pause, and then I'll say the ayes have it, or the nays, whatever. That way, anybody can make sure that the record is, if anybody has a question, that I was right about that. I'm not going to be inclined to recognize procedural motions, except motions to adjourn, which I think might be either dilatory or try to cut off debate. I'd be disinclined to recognize somebody for a motion to adjourn if they were trying to do it to score or to prevent some political point or some other point from being made. Because theoretically, a motion to adjourn is in order any time. But I'm going to have a kind of a blind eye if I think the motion to adjourn has an agenda to it. And that's just a general sense of how I would be inclined to proceed, making sure everybody has, if any time you don't think you want to talk about something, just plain interrupt. I mean, I've been married 42 years. I understand that concept completely.
All right, and then my second point is that I think it would have some value if we could have a review and a layout of all the utility infrastructure task force that have gone before us.
I agree.
And to give some reference as to the chronological order, the sequence that they've happened, and the purview that they've had to assist the city.
We ought to reinvent as few wheels as possible. You know, take a look at what our predecessors have done and learn from them. Anybody else?
How are we going to make sure, our commission's only for 1 year, how are we going to make sure we don't bog down in stormwater for 6 months and then have to rush with electric at Christmas or next summer?
I think that we're not going to bog down. But if you think at any point we're starting to bog down, just say privately or publicly, Chris, we're bogging down here. And I'll try to make progress on that. But my inclination is to not, I mean, I understand bogging down in committees, believe me, and my experience will be to not, or my inclination will be to not. In fact, the other danger is probably greater. I'm probably inclined to move more quickly than some or all of you are, and if at any point you think I'm moving too quickly, please say so. Anything else?
I talked to Tom Rodman with the Boone County Regional Sewer District the other day. Tom Rodman with the Boone County Regional Sewer District.
Yeah.
He's a manager.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask him to come and give a presentation to the task force.
Tom, who is he?
Rodman.
Adaman. Adaman.
Okay.
He's the general.
For the REC.
for sewers, sanitary sewer.
Oh.
Boone County Regional
Sewer
District.
Yeah, okay. Good idea. I like it. When we get to the sewer discussion, let's have them. Very important, because
He said he'd like to have a couple weeks' notice.
Cool. We won't do sewers for a little bit, but let's do that. Carol, if I don't do that as we approach sewers, make sure I do, please. Okay. Thank you very much.
Chris, are we doing sewers after stormwater?
I think after my inclination, unless somebody objects, is to do storm sewers and then do streets and transportation. And because, frankly, they're the areas where we're inclined to have more facts and analysis, and I don't think we're going to, I don't foresee potential difficulties there. We may, but, you know. So that was my thinking on that. If somebody thinks we should have a different order, but it was to be to start with those two, stormwater, then streets and transportation, and then the other two as we go along.
I just wondered with the overlap if it would make more sense to do sewer right after stormwater so we don't have to...
Yeah, the other thing is you get a lot of overlap between streets and stormwater. One collapse today. So it depends a lot on... There is overlap on all these, and I don't know how we say which overlap is greater than the other. Anybody else?
I just want to add to John's comment. I think if the city's done any surveys or they know of any other cities the same size that have dealt with infrastructure that could come in and speak to the group or at least share a survey that what other cities have done against that reinvent the wheel thing, in addition to the studies that were done internally, anything that's done externally or by another city that may have been challenged with the same problem.
Yeah, I think that generally nothing good can come there, but maybe, for instance, Lawrence, Kansas did something. You know, if no other business, we'll be adjourned. Wait a minute, the mayor. You changed your mind.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like for you to run the next council meeting. Would you please?
No chance.
A couple of perspectives that I have that I want to bring to this group. First of all, thank you for volunteering for this duty. And the perspective I have is when I took office in 2010, I took office with absolutely no background in any of this. I didn't know what I&I was. And that's really pretty much the standard background that most of us, when we sign up for this job, we have to learn on the fly. So I have a great deal of respect for the amount of expertise, experience, and talent that is sitting before me right now. I think it's going to be really very, very helpful to the city as a whole. I think my perspective as to why we are convening this group has to do with the fact that there has been a lot of confusion about the current conditions of infrastructure in the city of Columbia, how much planning we're doing, and where we're going. Chris Kelly talked about siloing. It's easy for siloing to occur for those of us on the council when we are given a stack of information on sewer this tall, and then we're given a stack of information on stormwater and then streets. It's difficult to assimilate all that information. It's a difficult learning curve for us. It's going to be great to have people whose professions involve this type of activity advising us, and I greatly respect that. The other part of the siloing that I want to mention is that this is an opinion that is probably not shared by everybody, but I think there's been siloing in Boone County among the institutions. And I think one of the things I'm most happy about is to have Greg Coffin here, because the example I would give is that you'll find our professionals in Water and Light have had plans for electric capacity all along. They've had plans for sewer capacity all along. But they didn't understand how rapidly the University of Missouri would grow. I don't think any of us did, really. And the growth was unexpected, unprecedented. It occurred without a change in the birth rate. There are no more 18-year-olds than there ever were. And we sat with 23,000 students for three decades. So who would think that it's going to change? There aren't any more births, haven't been, in 40 years. And then all of a sudden, we grew by 50%. And so it creates some opportunities for the city, but it also creates challenges, particularly when we're not expecting it. And what we saw then play out very publicly is a lot of acrimony over what this means to the city. You know, 13,000 students have to live somewhere, and when the private sector wanted to put them next to campus, that was not accepted by a population of the city, and we weren't ready for it. So we have to do a better job. But the siloing that I think we can break down is an inter-institutional siloing. We can really get the community involved in this. And I think that is going to be a major part of where we go from here. I know that, you know, I love 40-year plans. I don't know how many students are going to be here in 4 years.
You and I.
Yeah. You and I don't have a 40-year plan.
No, we don't. But when we 40 years ago, when we both showed up here, you know, who would have thought we'd still be here?
Right. And the last thing I'll say is you will be presented with a lot of information. The city is you know, you'll find has some professionals who are good in their fields, and you're going to get inundated with information. I think you'll find some of the recent ballots that we've had, the sewer ballot, stormwater ballot, and the electric bond ballot, provided staff with an opportunity to coalesce an enormous amount of material so that people who are not professionals in the field, you know, like me, have an opportunity to coalesce this together, and that will be an opportunity for you. So thank you for doing what you're doing. I think the community needs this. I think this gives a better opportunity to know where we stand right now and know what our challenges are for the next few years. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Hey, Bill, I have a question, and maybe John, too. Do you guys remember when Boone County Sewer District and the city both had pipes going down Percy Creek? See, that's the best example of siloing that I can think of. And your point about having the I did not think of it, and you're absolutely right, that we make sure we involve the Boone County Sewer District, because that back then it was districts, right? It was water districts, and we had pipes going right down the side by side. And that's pretty stupid. And that's exactly why that's such a good idea. I want to maybe have a little period of time sometime when we talk about this siloing issue, and maybe there's some, I don't know what it is, but maybe there's some recommendation that we can have for something that the city can do structurally, both internally and with university, county, sewer district, to make sure that we're breaking down as much of that as possible. But if there's nothing else?
I have one, I promise, the last thing I'm going to say here. And I meant to address this. The motion that Mr. Whitekemper will make, that was an issue we talked about at council, and Mr. Conway is a member of a high-level advisory commission for the city, Water and Light Advisory Board. And all the other infrastructure doesn't have an advisory board. We do. And I was concerned about supervening the role of the Water and Light Commission. I think that's something that the council will have to decide, because I don't think we are going to have unanimity with this.
Okay.
But I believe we have an enormous utility that's very sophisticated, that has undergone substantial planning, substantial growth, and I don't know if it's appropriate for you guys to get into that or not. My feeling is that I don't know about the downtown capacity, and I want that answered. If the council wants you to go broader, you may. I worry about you getting bogged down in a very large, sophisticated, complicated organization. Thank you.
If there's nothing else, we'll be adjourned. Thank you all very much.